I'm Christine Dean, and this is a homegrown edition of Live from Studio A. And today we are welcoming Seer and the Cosmonauts, which is Eric and Rachel Seer, and then there are cosmonauts out there somewhere. we'll talk more about that. But you have a new album. It's coming out on May 14th called Songs to Sing Before We're Dead, and we'll be chatting about that. And it looks like you're going to be doing a live stream for the release, right?
Yes, May 14th, that night we'll do a live stream, and then June 25th we'll do a in-person kind of after-the-fact release show out at Wusos.
Great. Well, let's get started with a song, and then we can come back and chat a little bit. What do you want to start with here?
We're going to start with the first song on the album, which is called Bones, a little bit different version of that song. Well, I walk through the valley of the bones, them dry bones, and all I saw around me was the yawning jaw of death. Well, my Lord said to me, can you keep their company? The son of man, can these dry bones breathe back life? I said, Lord, it's you alone that knows. Oh, my Lord, is it you alone that cares? When I hope is lost, gone, cut off, dead as stone. Can you split the grave and raise these dry, dry bones? Well, then he looked down and smiled. Raja grinned so sly and said, prophesy to these bones arise from death. And I'll put new flesh within, and I'll cover each with skin. I'll blow a spirit rushing in and out his breath. I said, Lord, it's you alone that knows. Oh, my Lord, is it you alone that cares? Hope is lost, gone, cut off, dead as stones. Can you split the grave and raise these dry, dry bones? Well, I lowered down my head and I spoke just like he said. And a noise came tumbling, jumbling to my ears. Within a rattle, clatter, chattering roar, a bone, jaw, bone befall were my very eyes, and I stared into the socket of death. And then skin and flesh both grew, held tight by strong sinew, and before me stood strong men as fresh as life. Four winds began to blow and breathe life into their souls, and that army looked as strong and vast as death. I said, Lord, it's you alone that knows. Oh, my Lord, is it you alone that cares? When our hope is lost, gone, cut off, dead as stone, can you split the grave and raise these dry, dry bones? Well, when it all was done, the Lord said, look here, son, all these men are the house that has decayed. And I'll raise it up again, and I'll make them all new men. They'll live in this, I swear it will be done. Oh, they'll live in this, I swear it will be done. Yeah, you'll live in this, I swear it will be done.
That is Seer and the Cosmonauts, live from Studio A, and a tune from their forthcoming new album, Songs to Sing Before We're Dead. And that was kind of the first single that you shared with us, and Really interesting, and it's nagging at the back of my mind. Like is that connected to a myth out there? I'm trying to remember.
It's taken from the Old Testament. There's a story in Ezekiel that I definitely lifted that story from.
Okay.
And gave a different twist to.
Yeah, about
yeah, the prophesying skeletons coming to life. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so the album cover is based on that idea too, of like a medieval print of skeletons dancing around, this print from a book called The Dance of Death.
Mm-hmm. So that's just something that caught your imagination?
Yeah. I conceived of the album, and the title Songs to Sing Before We're Dead came into my mind as the title before I knew what songs were going to be on there. And then like five or six of the songs on there have something to do with death or resurrection in some way. And so it ended up being a fitting theme for it. Yeah.
Is this something that you that started during the pandemic?
No, before? Actually before.
Okay.
So we started recording with Jason Wusso January of 2020. Yeah, so like a couple months before everything shut down, we started recording. We recorded that song, and then we're slowed down by the pandemic. And then there is one song that we're going to play next that is was the only one that was written during the pandemic, and is kind of not explicitly about the pandemic, but definitely tied in and influenced by some things that were going on. By John Prine had like just died from COVID, and influenced by his writing style. And then I can talk about the song more when we play it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, and talking about the pandemic, I was seeing that you guys were pretty active last year when outdoor concerts were possible.
Yeah.
So it didn't stop you completely from doing music. And I know, you know, you're busy. You've got a family, you've got a job.
Yes, indeed.
I don't know what Rachel's schedule is like, but the fact that you're still trying to find a place in your life for music means that it's something that's pretty important to you.
Yeah, for sure.
So you did a bunch of shows last summer. Tell me more about that.
Mostly we just played shows that we had already had set up before everything shut down. And then we were able to do like Ursa Minor. The Ursa Minor first show we did at Ursa Minor was kind of funny. It was sad funny, I guess. But it ended up being okay because it was the day we were scheduled to play, the day after they had their bad fire. And so I was like, yeesh, I don't know if we're going to play out there. I was going back and forth, like trying to contact them and find out if it was happening, because I figured, well, they got things to take care of. They're not going to want music. But they got their outdoor space like cleaned up super fast and wanted us to still come in. So we played there in June and played there in July and a couple other shows. We played down in the harbor, where the Ripple had outdoor music set up, was a really fun spot out in front of the William A. Irvin. So yeah, the outdoor shows were definitely fun last year, and it was good just to be able to have that chance to play.
And I think that Ursa Minor show kind of ended up being a fundraiser, too, to help them with their...
Yeah, they did... One Less Guest did it, like, that same day they were playing.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. So they were... It's nice that they were able to get that music going again.
Yeah. Yeah, they were on top of it really fast. And a lot of people, I think, came out just to support Ursa Minor because, they're just a great business in the community. So mm-hmm. It's good to see the support there.
Mm-hmm. You did work on some more of this album. So you started working on it before the pandemic
yep.
and then finished it during the pandemic,
yep.
It sounds like. Did you do much live stream stuff over the winter? Or?
No. We did, like, last spring we did a couple different shows. Like this time last year, actually, we did our own, like, Homegrown is Canceled, so we play from home set and a couple things. But then we're pretty inactive. I was... We were both working, and we were trying to piece together finishing the recording and getting it mixed, and all sorts of different things. So the performance was definitely on the back burner for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there still who else is still in the band? Do you have permanent other members of the
band?
Yeah,
we've got a drummer who we obviously don't have room for in here, Brady Kempfenkel, and then a couple different piano players that played with us originally. The guy who was playing with for a while got a job nursing with a really weird schedule, so he wasn't able to make a lot of gigs, so we brought in another piano player, John, who's played with us. So they'll be playing with us this summer in some of those outdoor shows.
Nice.
And definitely at the album release in June.
But the benefit of being in a band with your sister is that you two can
yeah, find, we make it work.
Find times to, find times to do stuff together. That's
for sure.
Great. Well, let's hear another tune, and then we'll chat some more about the album. What great. Do you want to play now?
So this is the one that I wrote kind of this time, around this time last year, called Cemetery Stone.
Well, the light slants across the bed here like it always done at home. But the dust that hangs still in that sunshine ain't your skin you brushed loose with your comb. When I die, I build a bench for my cemetery stone so my children can sit where I lay. And my grandkid can come with his girl Friday night, introduce her to me, tell me her name. Still of this room, I go back there to that swing on the porch in my mind, and I rock with you pressed up beside me, feel the warmth of your hip warm in mine. When I die, I build a bench for my cemetery stone so my children can sit where I lay. And my grandkid can come with his girl Friday night, introduce her to me, tell me her name. Can hear the soft click ticking by me and the gentlest thrum of my breath. I can see your soft face when I close my eyes, feel your hand leading me into rest. When I die, build a bench for my cemetery stone so my children can sit where I lay. And my grandkid can come with his girl Friday night, introduce her to me, tell me her name. Introduce her to me, tell me her name.
That is Seer live from Studio A, and another song from that forthcoming album, Songs to Sing Before We're Dead, because it's pretty hard to sing songs after you're dead.
Yeah, that's a good point, good point.
but, you know, I kind of take it as, you know, things to do, you know, make sure that you take care of the things that are important before you go, because life is short.
Yeah, that's right.
That's everything I'm reading into it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, definitely, it hits that's some of those songs that are kind of about the end of life, but then also songs that focus on other important parts in life. So there's a love song that's like just a straight love song that we'll do later as our next song. And then there's one, the last song on the album is a lullaby I wrote for my third child that I tried to like write specifically kind of a quiet, calm, lullaby-like song. So those kind of major parts of my life that are into the songs.
Now, that last one, was that the one you were talking about that was influenced by John Prine?
Yeah, this last song that I just played, I definitely was, I had, after he died, I was reading a lot of old interviews and different things. I had been a fan of his before, but I started reading some different interviews and things and just talking about his songwriting style, which is very, you know, storytelling and getting into the character, like the voice of the character. And so I wanted to do that style, and then I was just on a run noticing the benches sometimes in cemeteries. I live right by the cemetery up here, and running by and seeing the bench as a cemetery marker and thinking, like get into a character. Why would somebody want this? And then picturing that kind of that. Speaking of, I want a cemetery stone, or I want a bench for my stone, so that people can come here and they can be with me. And even when we can't be together as this character lays dying, I can be with my family after that.
Wow, that's very lovely. Getting a little choked up here. And, you know, if you're going to set your sights at emulating a songwriter, I think John Prine is a pretty pretty high bar to set
it
for
is.
Yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you can even get anywhere near that, you're doing great.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's kind of a challenge there. But, I love that. And so does that kind of affect, you know, I think a lot of people when they start performing, some people start from the story perspective, but some of them just start with their own personal things that they're trying to get out. And then shifting to that story thing comes with maturity. Has that happened for you, or were you always doing the story perspective? Or?
No, I would definitely say leaning towards what you're talking about, where at first you're just like, I can just sing my feelings and that's all I know how to write. And I still write some songs like that, but
it's
hard to write a good song like that. To make it something that is like, you know, your feelings and also relatable. That is a difficult thing. And it's, I think, hard to write a good convincing story as well. They're all songs are difficult to write a good song, you know, but you go through that phase of, or those phases where you're just keep on writing and keep on improving. So yeah, but definitely the story, I write a lot of, like fiction and short stories and things that are not songs as well. And so I think trying to figure out how do I take a 20-page story and tell that story super succinctly with all the details I need in 3 verses, and you're like really working efficiently in that setting, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, I was going to mention that on your website you have a link to another website called Verb and Tonic. I love that name.
That's right.
Where you have some of your writings. Have you always been a writer? Like, is which came first for you, writing or music?
Music, okay. For sure. So I've started playing music when I was in 5th grade, and I stuck with it, and I studied throughout high school. I knew I wanted to go and study music in college, and so I ended up at UMD, and I studied music, but I didn't want to do an education major, so I had to pick another major, and so I ended up in English, and because I had a kind of an interest in it, but just studying and reading a lot more and having it, that degree pursuit and having to do it all the time made me a lot more interested in it, and so then I still was writing more. I was writing songs. It wasn't until later that I started trying to write fiction and a couple novels and things like that, all unpublished other than on this website, but something that I've definitely have pursued a lot more in the last couple of years.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how does that work creatively as compared to music?
For me, I definitely do a lot more like thought and revision. Writing songs comes easier to me, and it's possible that they're just not very good, and if I revise them a lot more, they would become a lot better. But for me, like, a lot of times I'll write a song and it's like I look back through it and I'm like, yeah, I feel like that says what I want to say. It just came out, you know. Whereas writing fiction has been a lot more difficult, trial and error, for whatever reason. I don't know why that is for me, but it's more difficult for me to really, maybe it's just because there's more words. The songwriting, I think, has come more naturally to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think that I saw there was a place for poetry on there too.
Yeah, there's some poetry on there. Mm-hmm. It's me, myself, and a few other guys who we had been doing a online writers group and just critiquing each other's work, and just decided, well, we've got this writing that we're not publishing anywhere else. Let's set up a website for it. So there's a few different people who are publishing things on there.
Well, that's nice to have a group to get feedback from. Do you have that in music at all, or is it primarily with writing?
Not a lot. I'll take a song to Rachel and
I'll critique his music.
She'll critique it. But it kind of, I don't know, performing the songs versus like if I write a story, it's kind of like it's sitting there on my computer unless I actively seek someone to go write it. Whereas performing, I'm like playing it for people. And you kind of like, through my own just playing it and being like, I didn't really like how that went. Or other people being like, they didn't seem that interested in it. There's kind of a natural critique in playing it where I've got a ton of songs and there's a few that we keep on playing and a few that were like played once or twice and we're like, let's not go back to that song. We'll leave that one on the shelf. So I guess there's kind of that natural distillation process there.
That's a good point. I had never thought about that before. You have that built-in critique with an audience right in front of you.
Yeah, if it doesn't go well, I'm not going to do that song again.
You get instantaneous feedback.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Well, we have time for one more. Great. What do you want to play for us next?
So we're going to play Greyhound Bus, which is the second single, the last single that we released already online before this new album.
And I see that you wrote that for a couple that you know.
Yeah, so the last album that we made, I had done an Indiegogo campaign, and one of the backer things was that if you gave a certain amount of money, I would write a song specifically for them. And so a couple of friends, a couple who's married, she gave me the money and asked to write a song for them for their anniversary. And so I wrote this song for them, which is probably the best love song that I've written. And so I feel kind of bad that I did not write it for my own wife, but I still dedicate it to her.
And what makes it, what in your mind makes it the best one that you've done?
See, it just feels like it works. I don't know. Kind of comparing that fiction versus songwriting. Fiction, I'll be like working at it. And a song, it just feels like it works, or it doesn't feel like it works. And this one feels like it works. And then also other people have told me, that's probably the best song you've written. So there's both of those things.
So it's just a feeling that you have and feedback.
And the feedback, yeah.
Well, that's great. All right, well, now I'm excited to hear it. And this and the other, the Bones song, the first song that you played. You have started streaming those.
Yep.
A little sneak peek of the album.
Yep.
And at the end, we'll tell people where they can find your music afterwards. So
perfect. Don't you close your eyes anymore. Don't you care to see? And don't you leave your boots on the floor. Ain't you coming with me? Cause I got a one-way ticket on that Greyhound bus tonight. In a sleeper car that's big enough for two. We ain't coming back again until we both remember when our love is all we knew we'd ever need.
Sun out of the day, make you forget all of our schemes.
But I got one way ticket on that Greyhound bus tonight. In a sleeper car that's big enough for two. We ain't coming back this side until we both remember why our love is all we knew we'd ever need. And it's a dark night that breaks to a dawn that's darker still. It's a bright day that rises with light that burns away the chill. Now won't you lay down by this river next to me and watch the water pouring past? Just close your eyes and feel my breath against your cheek. Let this simple moment last. I got a one-way ticket on that Greyhound bus tonight. In a sleeper car that's big enough for two. We ain't coming back again until we both remember when our love is all we knew we'd ever need. We ain't coming back this side until we both remember why our love is all we knew we'd ever need. Our love is all we knew we'd ever need.
Very nice. That is one more from that new Seer and the Cosmonauts album, Songs to Sing Before We're Dead. And so if people want to find those songs, I know I was listening to them on Spotify. They're on Spotify. Yep. And do you have them anywhere else right now?
Bandcamp, you can find us.
And Cyr is C-Y-R. For those, I think you got to kind of spell that out.
Yeah, oftentimes, yeah.
And same with your website is Cyr, C-Y-R, and thecosmonauts.com.
Yep.
So people can check you out there, and there's links to your writing website as well.
Yep.
And you mentioned, you told me beforehand that you have submitted a video to Homegrown, so perhaps it will be featured somewhere along the line this week.
Somewhere you'll see.
It's kind of a,
one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This virtual Homegrown that we're having.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel. How have you been? I know you're okay with not talking a lot.
Absolutely.
but I feel like I don't want to make you feel neglected.
No,
so
it's wonderful.
You're doing okay.
I am. Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Good to know. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was a treat to have you. And you're doing a live stream for that new album.
Yep.
That comes out on May 14th.
Yep.
So and is that going to be on Facebook?
That will be on Facebook. Yep.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today's Homegrown edition of Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.